Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus, and welcome to this time of our service and worship to God. I feel this morning again very much in need of God's help and His strength. But He has promised to be faithful, and so I claim that promise this morning of trust in Him. We definitely want to be edified by the Word of God this morning and receive encouragement and challenges that God has for us for the coming week. This morning I have chosen to speak on friendship. I would like if you could turn to Proverbs chapter 18. There's one verse that I'd like to read here before I start out with my message. I don't really have a passage that I'm going to be reading from. As a starter, later on in the message, I'll probably have various different readings that I may read. Here we find in Proverbs a key verse, and this here is the text for this morning. A key verse for having friends or friendship. Proverbs 18 and verse 24, it says here that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, especially the beginning of the verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I believe this morning that's the key in having friends. As we look at this subject of friendship this morning, it's a big subject. And there's a lot of ways that we can reach out to people, and we want to look at some of those. We could ask the question, what is friendship? There's various different meanings or definitions to this. Number one, a relationship between two or more people who are friends. And this gives the idea of friendship over a long period of time, a friendship. It gives the idea of friendship that has lasted more than 40 years. And so we see it's a relationship. A friendship is a relationship. We also see number two, it says the mutual feeling of trust and affection and the behavior that typify relationships between friends. And so we sort of have the aspect of feelings. Here is what we feel with friendship. A relationship definitely has a way of making us feel. And if it's a good relationship, you will have a good feeling with it, a mutual feeling of trust and affection. Thirdly, it also gave this, a relationship between people, organizations, or countries that is characterized by mutual assistance, approval, or support. And so we see here that friendship is a relationship or is feelings towards someone. And so when we think of friendship, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is an effort made to bring out a relationship or share feelings or etc. in that. You can remember that as we go through this message. The message goal this morning is to help us see the value of being a friend. And there's two different concepts that I like to bring out. Number one, a friend to those who want to be our friend. Sometimes we have people that are begging to be our friends. They come up and the way they relate, they talk to us, and you can just tell that they want to kindle that friendship with us. Or the other side of it is there's sometimes we need to be a friend to those who don't want to be our friend. And what I mean by that is sometimes in life we have people that don't care for us and they don't like us. But that doesn't mean we can be nasty to them. That simply means as well that we need to be a friend to them as much as we can. And so this morning, I'd like to help us understand the value of being a friend. I'd like to consider a little bit this morning the desire for friendship. I believe all of us need friends and desire friendship. And I believe this desire for friendship starts at a very young age in life. Most of us can probably look back to a time when we needed a friend as a small child. And you know those feelings where we felt all alone. I want you to think back years ago in your oh, I don't know, 1 to 10 years of age. Maybe it was a day that your mother needed to go do something, and for some reason she couldn't take you with. So she went and she dropped you off at a babysitter. And you know that feeling that you could feel when you weren't secure at the place you were at, and you seen your mom walk out, go out the walk and get in the car and drive off. And it just felt like the world just kind of dropped out of the bottom. Feeling of friendship. You were craving something. You were craving that security. And or you could maybe think of the first day of school. You know, you go there maybe anticipating it, but having reserves about it. And you get to school and you see all the new surroundings. And you see all the big students. Everything is new, and it was just too scary. And well, maybe we even cried a little bit. But that feeling that, who's there for me? I'm feeling all alone. Or there could be various ways. You could be visiting another congregation. I still remember that dread of fear of thinking of going to Sunday school. It was just terrible. It's just a horrible feeling to have because you didn't know anyone. You didn't know if someone was going to be there for you to take your hand and say, here, I'll take you to Sunday school. I'll be your friend. Or, you know, maybe we had a friend that we thought loved and cared for us at a young age, at school age, or whatever. And we just thought we were real close friends, and then one day we just felt that they started ignoring us. And they even started making hurtful comments and saying, you know what, I got another friend now that I like better. You also know that feeling as well. And the hurt that we felt by that, because we felt betrayed, and all of a sudden what we thought was a good friendship all of a sudden disappeared. Well, life continues to bring more changes, and as you got older, you could have different of these stories that you could share. As you get older, it's just a different ballpark, different age, but possibly there's rivalry between church families, and you could feel like maybe, you know, people spend more time with these people than us. And we're craving that friendship. Or we could talk about church division where, you know, you thought you had friends and you just felt like they were all together with you, and all of a sudden they just packed out and they went to another church. That feeling of friendship was gone. Or it could be a broken up courtship. You know, you could think, that didn't just happen. I thought that we deeply loved each other. That couldn't have been me. Put it in your personal shoes, wherever it fits. But even as you grow older in life, as I understand, I'm not there yet, but I understand that as children grow up and leave the house, that mom and dad maybe kind of feel kind of alone. And they wonder, where's my children at? Here I took care of you so much, and I just think they ought to come back and visit more than they do. Death takes partners, relatives, friends, leaving older people lonely and more unnoticed because their friends are dying off, leaving them with less and fewer connections. And so we see that as time moves on, that, you know, it doesn't really change. Everyone likes friendship. That's the desire that God put in our life from young to old. We desire friendship with people. And I think it's a good desire. Well, we could ask the question, why the desire for friendship? And it's very simple, because I believe God put the desire for friends and friendship in our hearts. And it's a blessing that we enjoy as people to share with each other, to share our goals, to share our dreams, to share our struggles, to someone who listens and wants to understand. We all know that good feeling that comes over us with having friends, but we also remember how we felt when no one was there to give us a hand, a listening ear, or a warm welcome when we needed it most. And that hurt and that feeling of rejection that we had to deal with because, well, our friendship, no one wanted to be our friend. I believe the desire for friendship was placed in our hearts by God. to help us, bring us closer to himself. And this idea of friendship started way back at the beginning of creation. Soon after the world started, the importance of friendship was evident. And there's two different aspects of friendship that I like to bring out with that. And one is simply the idea of friendship with man to man. And that was when God created Eve for Adam because he needed a helpmeet. And God saw that Adam needed a friendship. It was a man-to-man relationship. And he says, I'm going to make you Eve. Here's Eve for you because I want her for you. It was friendship. It was for friendship. Or we also have the idea of friendship in God-to-man relationship. And we have, soon after the beginning of time in Genesis, where it reads about God coming to man, to Adam and Eve, and walking in the cool of the garden with them. God desiring friendship with man. So we see that the concept of friendship is as old as creation, but it is still an integral part of Christian life. God is still interested in blessing us with friendship today. That's still as real today as it ever was. In the New Testament, God gives us this promise. John 15 and verse 14, he says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. From these verses we learn that God doesn't just want to be our servant, but he wants to be our friend. He wants a greater relationship than servant, but friendship. And as we think of these verses in John, we see that friendship is two-sided. If ye do whatsoever I command you. And so we see that it takes a personal responsibility to be a friend of God. Friendship takes two people. And this morning we have a picture, and not only a picture, but we have God reaching out to us to be our friend. But he wants us to respond to his friendship to us. That's in our ballpark. Our response to God shows whether we want God to be our friend. Or maybe we could say our response to God shows us whether we want to be his friend. And this morning I believe that God is very jealous of our friendship. And I believe we need to consider James 4 and verse 4. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so again, I believe that personal responsibility is very important for earthly friendships. Let's think about that a little bit. People can try to be our friends, but unless we respond and open that door to them, their friendship and ours cannot grow. And it's vice versa. When we reach out to others, it makes it very difficult. When we don't reach out to others, it makes it very difficult for them to be our friends. If we do not welcome their friendship, personal responsibility. I know we cannot totally control who is our friends or how people will respond to us, but I believe we need to remember that we do play a part in creating friendships. I found a quote that I like to read. Friendship should not be thought of as something we get. It is something we give. Again, friendship should not be thought of as something we get. It is something we give. And so whether we get friends or not, it's not the ultimate. The ultimate is that we are sure that we are being the friend that we need to be, as our text verse, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. I think we need to recognize that being the wrong kind of friend will leave us friendless. I have another quote. Friends are made by many acts, but can be lost by just one. Again, friends are made by many acts, but can be lost by just one. So I like to ask the question this morning, why are friends so important? I believe friends are an important part of our life because they contribute of the contribution they give to us and the contribution that we give to others. I believe God gives us friends to help us be stable in life and give us security. Good friends will be concerned about our future destiny and help us prepare us for eternity. And so as we think of it from that aspect, friendship becomes extremely important because friendships help us in helping us get to our goal. We need all the help we can get to make it to eternal life. All right, for the last part of my message, I like to look at characteristics of a true friend. And I have quite a few of them here that I'd like to list for us to learn about. Number one, a true friend will be a friend of God. I have a quote, another quote that I found. It goes like this, "He is your friend who pushes you nearer to God." Again, he is your friend who pushes you nearer to God. I thought of Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. And I believe he is a good example of pushing someone near to God. I want to give three examples of Abraham and Lot that shows how Abraham pushed Lot nearer to God. In the first account, we find in Genesis 13. I think I'll just turn that to that and read those verses. Genesis 13, 7 through 14, 7 through 12. Genesis 13, 7 through 12. "And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose unto him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." And so this morning I like to pick out from this passage this idea that Abraham was a friend of God, and because of his friendship with God, he was able to treat Lot in this way. Abraham had the right to take this land. He was only bringing Lot with him. And so when he gave this land to him, he was giving up his rights. And so we see through this experience that Abraham was being kind to Lot, and he was pushing Lot towards God and showing who God really was. Or we could think of Abraham rescuing Lot as Lot was captured and the men took him away, and Abraham risked his life to pursue him and to bring him back after what Lot did to Abraham. Choosing the best of the land, Abraham was still willing to do that. Or we could think of Abraham bargaining with God for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, trying to get the numbers as low as he could so that God wouldn't destroy the city. And I don't know what all his motive was, but I'm guessing he knew Lot was in that city. And he wanted to do his best. And I think it shows that a true friend will be a friend of God. And I believe Abraham was doing that. But right along with this, this is another side of the picture of being a friend. A true friend will be a friend of God. We also need to be careful where we place our boundaries in friendship. The Bible makes that clear. It talks of the communion table. It says, "Not with such an one to eat." It talks about it in marriage. It says, "Marry only in the Lord." It also talks about being careful to be with sinners. Proverbs 1 and verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thee not." This morning I believe that all of us need friends. But with every one of our friends, I believe we need to remember that if our friends that we associate with care little about God, they will care little about us. And I believe that we need to have friends that are God's friends. To build friendship for self, or otherwise, they would build friendship for selfish reasons that will take us down rather than build us up. If people don't want to be God's friends, then we need to be very much on guard. I believe that God's friends should be our friends. And this is the question I like to ask you this morning. What do people say about us? Can they say, as they look at your life, that man, he's a friend of God? He shows by his actions that he portrays that he's that kind of man. He treats me like that. It's a question I'd like to leave with you. A true friend will be a friend of God. Secondly, a true friend is willing to identify with others. I think I'm going to turn to Matthew 9. There's a couple of verses I'd like to read from there. Matthew chapter 9, and I'd like to read from through 13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy, and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then I'd like to turn to Matthew 11 and verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified for her children. Seems like Jesus couldn't do anything right for the people, could he? That's about the size of it. But we see here that Jesus was willing to identify with sinners. And we also could look at the account of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, being a crooked man, climbed up into a tree to see Christ, and Jesus comes along and he looks up there, takes the time to look up in the tree and says, I want to come to your house. A true friend is willing to identify with others. I believe we must not be overly concerned about what others might think of us if we are associating with, I'm just going to say, weird people. I believe it's our responsibility to reach out to the down and outers. People likely hated Zacchaeus, but Jesus came along and reached out to him anyway. I'm guessing that people knew that he was crooked and didn't want anything to do with him. Apostle Paul says it this way, To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by means save some. A true friend is much more concerned about presenting Christ to needy people than what reputation will bring to him. This morning I'm not advocating that we are careless friends, or that we start careless friendships or associate with all kinds of friends that are not God's friends. I'm not advocating that we're careless in our relationships, but I believe it's our responsibility to be willing to reach out, not that we want to indulge in the flesh or with our desires for selfish reasons. Sometimes we like to be friends with people because of selfish reasons. I don't believe that's right. But we need to show humility and love and concern for souls in need, even though people may say, well, he doesn't deserve it. He just doesn't. Two more quotes I'd like to read. Friends need love, especially when you think they don't deserve it. The second quote goes like this: friend are those who speak to you after others don't. This morning again, I believe it is important for us to identify with the worst. It is through our care and no respecter of person's attitude that can bring the worst of sinners to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus didn't deserve to host Jesus, as crooked as he was, but Jesus gives us that beautiful picture of identifying with sinful mankind, getting down on his level, and inviting him and coming to his house. Well, I think we need to do the same. Let's remember to invite people to our church. Let's remember to reach out to people. I guess the question I have again this morning for you is, how willing are we to identify with the Zacchaeus of our day? Those people need our friendship. A true friend will identify with others' weakness. Thirdly, a true friend will put others first. Remember that song that we sing? We call it a children's song, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. I find that this really comes against my human nature. You know, I had to think of it as getting up at night with the children. I think to myself, you know, I can't get up with them. I need my sleep. Maybe you don't feel with that, with me on that. Or I can't take time for my family. I need to get this sermon ready. Or if God wouldn't have made me a preacher, well, I could spend time with them. Well, I find that I have the same problem when I'm not studying the sermon. So you see human nature coming out, don't you? It's very easy, or I specialize well in accomplishing my agenda, to be selfish. But the Bible teaches that we put others first. Think back to Isaac needing to dig another well because the Philistines stopped his wells. He just moved on and dug another one. He decided, you know what? It's more important for them to have their way than my way. Or you could think of the Good Samaritan coming along and giving up his time and service. I don't know where the robbers were, and I don't know how much fear he had, but he came along and he said, you know what? This man is more important than my time or my agenda. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we have many great examples of Jesus giving his life for others. And especially that one example where he died on the cross for us. He gave his own life. In my own life, my selfishness usually comes before others. Jesus teaches rather to be concerned about others. Imagine Jesus not putting your needs ahead of his own suffering. Imagine if Jesus only cared about himself, where would you be in life? I'd like to ask a few questions. Dads and moms, are we meeting the needs of our children and our wives? Are we meeting the needs of the household of faith, especially to do good to the house of faith, as the Bible says? Are we meeting the needs of our neighbors? I find in my own life that I go about my life, I stick to myself, I do my own thing, and where are my neighbors? They're not in the equation. A true friend will put others' needs first. Just challenges that I'm leaving for all of us. Fourthly, a true friend's words will strengthen others. Proverbs 27 and verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We see by these verses that there's a good effect that words can have on friends. This verse in Proverbs uses words such as ointment, perfume, rejoice, and sharpeneth, speaking of what happens with good counsel. The Bible also gives us the opposite. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. I have also a quote. Friends will not believe you love them if you constantly remind them of their faults. I believe we need to be aware that there's a lot of damage done by hurtful words, careless thoughts and words that come out in action. We need to be on guard to speak kind things to others. Friendships are not going to be a success if we are a talebearer or a whisperer. And whether the person has done something wrong or not, we need to be careful not to spread things that would make others think unkind about someone or put others below us. Spreading evil does not make for good friendships. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." I want you to think back to when there was a time that you got hurt in life. You know, maybe you cut yourself, or maybe you fell, or whatever it is. And we know that feeling of pain that goes along with those hurts that we receive. Another way of saying inward in this verse that we just read could be deeply. And I like to say this morning that the harder the injury, the worse the pain. And so we see the intensity of damage of wrong words, the inward parts of the belly. Well, we don't want to stay with that. We know the blessing of good words. Proverbs 25 and verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver." And so we have the idea of right kind of words being very valuable. Words of value will encourage others. Right words at the right time will better the person. Sometimes we need to speak truth. Sometimes it's words of affirmation. Sometimes it's compliments. Sometimes it's words of sympathy. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Again, I ask the question, can others count you as a true friend because of your words? A true friend's words will strengthen others. Moving on, fifthly, a true friend will listen, intending to understand. I was going to take you to the example of Hannah, in bitterness of soul, pouring out her heart to God, and the priest, or whoever was in the temple, misjudged her and made a quick judgment. Said, "Put away your wine. When are you going to put it away from you?" And Hannah says, "No, that's not the problem." And then she explained to him, and then he said, "Well, be it as you would like." And what I'm trying to get out from that is that sometimes we observe others' actions and we make quick judgments, giving a quick solution to what we see the problem is, well, without getting the whole story, and we end up hurting people. This does not make for good friendship. A friend is concerned about what others are doing, though, going through, and will do his best to get a good evaluation of the situation. He will allow himself to feel others' pain in effort to show understanding and sympathy. Otherwise, the one suffering will feel as though he is not worth his time, and the message they catch is, "Just get over it. Just get over it." We know how that feels when people say that to us. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him." A true friend will listen, intending to understand. Sixthly, a true friend will value others' success. And I thought of the story of the lost coin, where the lady lost her coin and she called her neighbor. She said, "Come and rejoice with me, for I have found that which was lost." It can be difficult to see others succeed above our own abilities, accomplishments, and worth. But I believe a true friend will value others' success. I ask the question, can we rejoice with those who succeed? A true friend will value others' success. Seventhly, a true friend will be dependable. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And I thought of Jonathan and David sticking together as friends. You know, David could count on him, and no matter that Jonathan should have legally got the throne, he was willing to give that up and be a dependable friend. Or I thought of Ruth and Naomi, where Ruth and Naomi said, "Go back to your people." And Ruth said, "No, I'll go with you." This morning, I believe our friends are counting on us. A true friend will be a dependable friend. This morning, those are just a few of my thoughts on friendship. May we continue to reach out to others and be the friend that we need to be, to reach others and to help others in life. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning asking you to be with us. We ask that you would cleanse our heart of pride, of selfishness, of impurities. Father, we recognize that we are sinners. We just ask for your cleansing power. We also recognize that you have provided a way of salvation to redeem us to God, to redeem us to yourself. And thank you, Father, for that friendship that you've shown to us. The most valuable example that you've left us, that we can feel your friendship and your love and your care to us. And Father, may that simple truth go with us as we think of reaching out to other people, that we could show the love and the concern that Jesus had for us. And be a friend to the friendless, and be a friend to those who need to be who need friends. Father, and those even that may not want to be our friend, help us to know how to respond to them in a way that would show that we love and care for them. Father, we know that we are needy creatures, and I know in my own life the selfishness of my heart. Father, I just want your way. Thank you for teaching me again. And Father, I just open my heart to receive the lessons that you've taught me through this study. And I pray that I would put them to use in my life and be that kind of friend so that all of us someday could be reunited in eternal life with you in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.